Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Lamed Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel. It begins at the Mishnah, which in effect is a continuation of the Mishnah that we saw in our previous shiur, of someone who is Mudar Hano Mechavero from Michal. In other words, someone declared that he doesn't want someone else to benefit from him, matters that are food-related. We explained in our previous shiur that that meant to include any vessels that lead to one being able to prepare or eat his food. So, and we saw that that included not only actual food items, but things like sifters and grinders. We continue now with this Mishnah, and it says, V'chol davar she'ein oisin boi oichel, any vessels that are not food related, she'ein oisin boi oichel nefesh, mokom she'maskirin kayotze bohen, in an area where those kind of vessels, imagine a lawnmower. Lawnmower is not related to food preparation. But you're in an area where lawnmowers are rented. Usser. It would be usser for the madir, for the one who took the vow, to loan to the other party such an implement. Why is it usser for him to loan it to him? Because by loaning it to him, the subject of the vow, the one who is not allowed to benefit, is in effect saving the rent money that he would have had to pay for that item. And now with the saved money, he can buy food. So you see the food connection, the food relationship through in the lawnmower in such a case, in a case where the general practice is to rent out these types of utensils or vessels. The Gemara can now points out Michlal Dereisha. It would then result, or you would infer from this, that in the Reisha, where the Mishnah mentioned that a Mudar Mimenu Maicho, it said Lo Yashilenu Napu Kvora, you shall not loan to him a Napu Kvora. It must be then in an area Afal Pishain Maskirin. It's in a place where those items aren't rented out. They're loaned from one to another. People borrow sifters and the other food-related implements. Now, if that's the case, so why is it prohibited for the madir to loan a sifter in a place where if I don't loan it to him, someone else will loan it to him? It's very, very easily accessible. Man Tana, who is the Tana that would impose this restriction? It seems to be a very minor level of benefit. Namely, if the Madir isn't going to provide a sifter to the Mudar, the subject of the vow, he'll get the sifter from someone else very easily. And yet, the Mishnah says that the Madir is not allowed to loan it to the Mudar. Omar Rav Acha Bar Ava, so Rav Acha explains, Rabbi Eliezer, this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And we saw this in our previous year. Rabbi Eliezer, who is very restrictive when it comes to even the most minor form of benefit, when it comes to a mudor hana, someone who was banned, who was prohibited from benefiting, it would be a violation of the vow for him to borrow the vessel from the madir, from the one who initiated the vow, even though it's easily accessible from somewhere else. Rashi points out that what the Gemara is saying is that the previous Mishnah of the Reisha is in accordance with Rabbi Lezer. However, this Mishnah that says that vessels that are ordinarily rented, and the mudor, if he were to borrow it from the madir, from the one who initiated the vow, would be saving money, that money able now to be used for the purchase of actual food, this Mishnah, which restricts loaning such vessels, is in accordance with all opinions. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, even though, let us say, A prohibited B from benefiting from him, A, who is not allowed to benefit B, is nevertheless allowed to pay the machzis ha-shekel, the annual half-shekel tax to the Beis HaMikdash on behalf of B. He can pay debts that B owes. A is not putting money, putting cash into B's hand. That would be prohibited. But he's going to the malve, to the creditor that's trying to collect from the love, who's the mudar, and the madir is paying off the debt. And likewise, the madir, the one who initiated the vow, who is not to benefit the mudar, Mr. B, A can return a lost article. If A finds B's lost article, he can return it to him. Now let's turn to the Mishnah. Hamudar hano mechavero. A is vowing not to benefit B. Shokelo es shiklo. A can pay the machzis ha-shekel, the annual Beis HaMikdash tax, on behalf of B. Poreas chovo can pay off B's debts. Umachzir lo es avedoso. And if B has had lost something and A found it, A can return it to B. Mokom shenot limalo aschar, in a place that a fee is paid for the restoration of a lost item, tipol hano lehegdish. So the fee must is to be paid to the Beis HaMikdash and not given to A. The Mishnah will be explained in detail as we go on in the Gemara. From the fact that the Mishnah said that the Madir, the initiator of the vow, can pay off, they pay the machzis ha-shekel and pay the debts, almo avruchi ari ba'almohu v'shori. All that A is doing is chasing, literally speaking, literally translating the Gemara, chasing away a lion, a threatening lion. In other words, A, who initiated the vow, is not imparting direct pleasure to B. A is rather preventing damage from occurring to B. He's chasing away a lion, so to speak. And in the Mishnah terms, he's removing the debt from upon him. Man Tana. Who is the Tana that says that in a Mudor Hana situation, this is allowed? Omar Rav Hoshaya. This is the first of two approaches in establishing who would hold that the Mudor Hana can have his debts paid off by the Madir. So Rav Hoshaya says, Zu, and we continue at the top of Amud Beis, Divrei Chononhi. This is the opinion of Chonon, where the Gemara, on the another two lines, third line from the top, will ask, my Chonon, who is Chonon? What did Chonon say that Rav Hoshaya is basing his din on? So we'll see the source the source for this name and the name that Rava cites in that Tanaic source. In the meantime, we're saying that this is in accordance with Chonon. Rava Amar Afilu Tema Divrei HaKol. Our Mishnah isn't limited to the opinion of Chonon, but it can be explained according to all opinions. Gabi Mudor Hano, in the context of the Mudor Hano, the situation of the debt is the Yohivlei Almanas Shelo Lefroa. There are different approaches to explaining this line. We're going to take one of the approaches you find in the commentaries, and that is that the debt was initially extended to the loive, to the borrower, who is the subject of the vow in our case. The debt was extended to him with an understanding that it's a loan with the stipulation that he doesn't have to pay it up. So if, in simple terms, if the mudar doesn't have to pay it up, and some outsider comes, and in this case the outsider is the madir, and he comes and pays off that debt, he's not really benefiting the mudar, because the mudar didn't have to pay it up to begin with. We'll have to go over some of these points, but it's important to see the sources that the Gemara is referring to before we can fully explain things. So the Gemara goes on, my Chonon, the reference to Chonon, where is that? Disnan. So we have a Tanaic source, it's a Mishnah in Maseches Ksubis, and it deals with a husband and wife, and a husband is obligated to support his wife, and as such, it's similar to a person, a debt situation. The husband has a debt toward the wife. So the Tanaic source says as follows: Misha halach l'midian sayam, v'omad echad upirnes es ishto. A person, a man, went abroad, left his wife behind, and someone out of his own volition, without being hired, without being asked, goes and supports the wife. Chonon Omar, Ibeid es mo'oisov. Chonon says that that outsider, that good-natured person, the money that he paid is, as far as he is concerned, it's lost money. Meaning, he has no, he cannot recover the money from the husband. It's money that the husband will not have to pay. So that if you let's say superimpose Chonon's rule, Chonon's case on our case, the husband is not going to have to compensate this outsider. The husband, we can say, is like the love, and that which the good-natured person did in paying the wife, that's like paying the malve. And since the parnos, the mefarnes, cannot demand compensation from the husband, we therefore say that in the Mudar Hanol case, where the Madir, the initiator of the vow, paid off the Mudar's debts, the Madir was simply, let's say, throwing out his money. He wasn't going to be able to recover it anyway from the love. Had it been otherwise, had letter of the law stated that an outsider who pays off your debts has a right to demand compensation from you, from the debtor, and he forgoes that, he forgoes the right to force compensation, that would be a case of giving hano, which would have been a violation of the vow. But Chonon is of the opinion that when some outsider comes to pay off your debts, when you in an uninitiated fashion, he has no right to demand compensation to begin with, so that his foregoing of it, so to speak, he's not foregoing anything, he's not foregoing something that he couldn't do in the first place. He couldn't demand compensation. So that's why Rav Hoshaya says our Mishnah, which enables the Madir to pay off the Mudar's debt, is in accordance with Chonon. The Madir being paralleled to the Parnos in the case of Chonon, the Mudar being parallel to the Baal, to the husband, in the case of Chonon. The source goes on and says, Nechluku alav b'nei kehanim gedoylim. There were others that disagreed with Chonon. They're called the b'nei kehanim gedoylim, the sons of the high priests, the Omru, and they said, this school of thought called b'nei kehanim gedoylim, said, Yishava kamahoitzi mito. That man who paid the wife, who paid off the husband's debt to the wife, he can in turn swear how much he paid the woman and demand compensation from the husband. Om Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkanis Kedivrayim, Rabbi Dosa agrees with their point of view. Om Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Yofem or Chonon. Chonon is saying the right way, the good way. Hiniach Moisev al Keren Hatzvi. It's as if the Parnos, the one who paid the wife's upkeep, left his money on the antlers of a deer. In other words, lost money. He's not due to get any compensation. That having been said, we have to go back to Rava at the top line. Rava said, well, our Mishnah doesn't have to be limited to Chonon. Rather, our Mishnah can be explained according to the B'nai Kohanim Gedolim as well. And in our Mishnah, which was dealing with the Mudor Hano, the nature of the loan that the Madir paid on behalf of the Mudor was a type of loan that the Mudor, when he had initially taken the loan, did not have to pay it up. So if it was a loan that he didn't have to pay up, if someone else comes and pays that off for me, he's not really benefiting me. Now the Gemara goes over the opinions of Rava and Rav Hoshaya. Why did each one not say like the other? Rava was the second approach. Lomar ki Rav Hoshaya was the first approach. To kamoikim lo lemasnisin kedivrei al kol, by setting up the Mishnah as a loan that didn't have to be paid off from the outset, he is setting up the Mishnah like all opinions, that if it's a loan like that, so the Madir is able to pay it off. Rabbi Shaya does not take the approach of Rava, because if we were to accept Rava's approach, that the type of loan was, in other words, it's a situation, it's a shita that's not specifically Chonon, then gzeiro shelo lifra mishum lifra. Rav Hoshaya would have imposed a gzeiro, a restriction, in not paying off that kind of loan, a loan that really didn't need to be paid up, in anticipation of someone paying off a loan that did need to be paid off. And a loan, paying off a loan that the Mudar had to pay off, that would have constituted benefiting him. Unless, of course, you hold like Chonon. Machsir loy es avidoso. Our Mishnah said that in a Madir Mudar situation, the Madir, even though he vowed not to benefit the Mudar, the Madir can return the lost item found, that he found. He can return it to the Mudar. We have a marking that we explain on the side under the Mivneh. The diamond appears, And you'll see that we refer to Roman numerals 1 and 2. These are Shnei Lishoinois B'machloikis Rabbi Ami V'Ravasi. You'll see there are two versions in the Gemara in presenting a machloikis, a controversy between Rabbi Ami and Ravasi. The Nosei, the topic heading, we indicate that this topic heading, this topic goes to the end of Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. At this point, it appears that we're going to be spilling over our strict Daf Yomi quota, that even though today's shir is Daf Lamed Gimel, we're going to be spilling over well onto Daf Lamed Dalet till the end of Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, so as to keep the, not to break this topic up in the middle of the discussion. So the topic reads under the Nosei, the topic heading, and by the way, if you're interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. The topic reads as follows. That which we were taught, that in a mudar hano situation, the madir can return the lost article to the mudar. Yesh levarer im ze tolui al mi hano der. We have to clarify on who is the the initiator of the vow. You'll have a possibility of the nichse machsir asurim abalo aveda. After all is said and done, we have to approach this in, we'll say, in general terms. We have two parties. One is not allowed to receive benefit from the other. Who is it? So one approach refers to the nichse machsir, the one who is returning the article, is the one who is not to benefit the owner of the lost article. And there is a situation of in the opposite direction, namely that the owner of the lost article is not to bestow benefit to the one who is returning the lost article. The Gemara. Machsir lo asavidoso, pligi bo rabami vravasi. Chad omar, lo shonu, one of these, we have Rabami Ravasi, we don't have the name associated with who is the speaker right now, but one of them says that the din of the Mishnah, that the article, the lost item, can be returned and not be in violation of the vow, is Lo Shanu Elo B'Shenichse Machsir Asurim Albal Aveda. The one who's doing the act of return has prohibited the owner of the item from benefit. The chimahaderle, when the machzir, when the returner is returning it, meidam de nafshe komahaderle. All he's doing is he's giving the item, the lost item, to he who owns it. He's giving, now I'll just use pronouns, which I don't like, but just to get the flavor of this phrase, he's giving him something that's his anyway. So that A is giving to Mr. B something that belongs to B anyway. It's true that A has prohibited B from benefiting him. But what that means is that A cannot give his own, means A's own items, to Mr. B. But in this case, Mr. A is giving, by returning Mr. B's article to Mr. B, he's giving Mr. B, Mr. B's own thing. That's meidam de nafshe, his own thing. Komadile, he is returning. Avol, nichse bal aveda asurin al machsir lo komahadile. If the vow is such that the owner of the lost article is not to benefit the one returning the lost article, so the machsir cannot do that. He can't return it. de Kamahani le Pruta de Rav Yosef. The lost article in effect is benefiting the one returning. And you'll ask, how in the world is that? So we'll refer to the Gemara first, the Pruta de Rav Yosef, and now we give the background explanation. There's a concept known as Oisek b'mitzvah poter min ha-mitzvah. When you're involved with the performance of one mitzvah, while you're involved with that, you are exempt from fulfilling another mitzvah that comes your way. So to make things, to bring things down to a practical level, if while I am caring for the lost article, and those of you who are familiar with the second perek of Maseches Bava Metzia knows that the Gemara lays out rules in how to care for a lost article in anticipation of its return to the owner. So as during the time that you are caring for the lost article and physically preoccupied with the welfare, the care of the lost article and its return, if a poor man comes by seeking charity, seeking tzedakah, you do not have to pay the tzedakah. You don't have to give him that money. So in simple terms, the lost article that belongs to the which is owned by the Baal HaAvedah is enabling you, the machzir, to profit, to as the old adage goes, a penny saved is a penny earned. You are profiting that saved money that you would have otherwise had to pay had you not been preoccupied with the lost article. So that lost article, which is the Nichse Baal HaAvedah, is causing you the machzir benefit. So if the vow was that the Nichse Baal HaAvedah is usur, the property of the Baal HaAvedah is usur to the machzir, so then if you are walking by a lost article that belongs to someone that had vowed not to benefit you, you can't take care of it. You can't do anything with it. Because once you get involved with it, you would be setting yourself up for saving what's called the Pruta de Rav Yosef. Pruta literally is a coin, the coin that was taught by Rav Yosef in this context of Oisek b'mitzvah poter min ha-mitzvah. V'chad Omar, another of these two opinions, where Rav Amin Ravasi, the other one, says, Afilu nichse baal aveda asurim al machzir mahadirle. Even if it's in that direction, that the baal aveda banned or forbade the machzir from benefit, the machzir can return the lost item. Omishem pruta de Rav Yosef lo shchiach. And to concern yourself with the possibility that a poor man might come along while you are airing out or transporting the lost article to be returned, that's something very unusual. It need not be anticipated. According to a number of commentaries, what this opinion is saying is that even if it's a two-way vow, and this expression you can see in the Rosh, Pirush Kishishneim Mudorim Zemizeh, and this expression you see in other Meforshim as well, and that's why that's a way to understand the word Afilu Nichse Baal HaAvedah Asur, meaning that even if it's a two-way vow, nevertheless, the Mishnah's din of the return of the lost article can be made. We continue at the top of Daf Lamed Dalet Tanan. Mokim shenoitlim olel schar tipa hanol lehekdish. The Mishnah mentioned in the context of return of lost article, under these circumstances of a mudor hanor, if a fee were paid for the return of the lost article. So the money, that fee, would have to be paid to the Beis HaMikdash. Bishlamo Lamanda Omar Afilu Bishenich Sebala Veda Asurma Max Yunami Mahader. According to approach number two that we saw at the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, and here the Tosfos commentary points out, like we saw in the Rosh, you could see the Tosfos at the top of the Tosfos commentary says Bishlamanda Omar Bishenich Sebchole Pirush Shishnei Mudorim Zemizeh. According to that approach, that both have forsworn benefit one to the other. So the Mishnah makes perfect sense. The Mishnah is understandable. Hainu dikotoni, the continuation of the Mishnah that said, Mokom shenot limaleh aschar tipa no lehekdish, where a fee for the return of the lost item is paid. Well, in our case where you have both people having forsworn benefit one from the other, so obviously the owner of the lost article, upon receiving his lost item in return, which is allowed to be done, nevertheless he the owner of the lost article cannot pay the machzir, the one who returned it. The vow says that neither one can benefit the other one. If the owner of the lost article pays a fee to the machzir, to the one who returns it, that would be a violation of the vow. Elo lamand yomar kishenichse baal aveda asurin al machzir loy mahader. But according to approach number one, that said that if the nichse baal aveda, the property of the lost item, is prohibited to the machzir, lo mahadir, there is not going to be any return. Now, if there's not going to be any return, amai tipol hano lehekdesh, then why does the Mishnah say that the return fee is paid to the Beis HaMikdash? The item's not going to be returned. You pay this fee when something is going to be returned, but it's not going to be returned because he holds that if the nichsei balaveda are ushered to the machzir, and remember the Pruta de Rav Yosef consideration, that's why the machzir cannot return it. He will be benefiting from that lost article. It enables him to save money. So he's not going to return it. So why does the Mishnah say he has to pay Hanol the fee to Hekdesh? The Gemara answers, Achado Kotoni. The din of Tipol Hanol Hekdesh is referring to the first situation where a return will take place. And what was that first situation? Where the Nichsei Machzir was usher to the Baal HaAveda. And we now analyze. And the analysis that we use, that we're going to be using, is, you can see, is taken from information that you see in the Rashi commentary. If the machzir is going to return the item to the Baal HaAveda, because the vow simply said that the nichsei madir, the nichsei of the machzir, the property of the machzir, is also to the Baal HaAveda, when the item is returned, so it's not as if the machzir's property is being given to the Baal HaAveda. It's the Baal HaAveda's property is given to the Baal HaAveda. So there's no prohibition in the item being returned. So good, it's returned. But now, a fee must be paid. The Rashi explains that we're dealing here with the machzir is a man of means, a man of wealth. And he doesn't want to accept the money. It's beneath his dignity to receive the money. As Rashi says, zilusa hu. It's beneath his dignity to receive the return fee. I always thought, look, I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm returning a lost article, it's not comfortable for me to take to take money for it. And with Rashi's understanding, certainly that would be the case if the man who's returning it is a man of means. So as far as the fee being paid by the Baal Ho'aveda to the Machzir doesn't want to receive it. You'll say, so if he doesn't want to take it, let the Baal Ho'aveda keep it himself? No, he can't do that either. Because that money is money that's rightfully the Machzir's money. And what did the vow say? The vow says that the property of the Machzir is prohibited to the Baal Ho'aveda. So the Baal Ho'aveda cannot hold on to that money that's technically speaking or rightfully the Machzir's. It's the Machzir's property. Therefore, he has to part with it and he gives it to the Beis HaMikdash. Iko demasni lo b'chai lishna. Another version in presenting the Machlokas Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Pligi bo Rav Ami, Rav Asi. Chalomar loy shonu, the teaching of the Mishnah that the item, the lost item, can be returned. Ela b'shenichse Baal Aveda Asurin al Machzir, u'mishum pruta de Rav Yosef lo shchiach. The return can take place when the property of the Baal Aveda, of the owner of the lost article, is prohibited to the Machzir. The Machzir is in this case not benefiting from the property of the Baal Aveda. We saw beforehand this a svara that maybe he is, because he's saving the stock of money that he would have had to pay, but that's very uncommon. It's not something that one has to take into consideration. So the return can take place. Avol nirse machzir asur na Baal Aveda lo mahadule. When the vow states that the property of the one returning it is prohibited to the Baal Aveda, so the individual cannot return it. Mishum dekamahanile, he's giving him benefit. It's, in my understanding, it's that not if we say if the vow stated the property is usur, so the person himself is all the more usur. It's like the person who's doing the return is the ultimate property. He is his own property. He's physically returning the item to someone who is not allowed to benefit from the machzir. So the machzir, when it's nirse machzir asuna Baal Aveda, the returner of the item cannot return it to him. V'chal omar, the other opinion, again, Rabami of Rasi, the other one says, afilu nirse machzir asuna Baal Aveda mahadir le. Even when the nirse machzir are also, the property of the machzir is also to the owner of the lost item, the return can take place. The chimahadule midi denafshe komahadule. Here, this svara, this opinion focuses on not the person doing the returning, but on the item being returned. And the item being returned is not the property of the machzir. The vow says that the property of the machzir, the property of the one returning it, is forbidden. But the lost article is not the property of the one returning it. So that according to approach number two, even if the vow is, like we said before, a two-way vow, the return will be able to take place under all circumstances. Tanan. Again, a quote that we quoted before from the Mishnah. Mokom shenotlum alei haschar, tipol hano lehekdish. Where a fee is paid for the return of lost articles, the fee is to be given to the Beis HaMikdash. Bishlomo lamando amar afilu b'shenichse machzir asur ma'Baal Aveda mehader hainu demetaretz mokoim. According to the opinion that said, whichever direction the vow is in, the return can take place. So, using the explanation that we saw before, that even if it's a two-way vow, the return will take place, and therefore, if you're in an area that a fee is paid, the fee cannot be paid from the owner of the lost article to the one returning it, because he is then benefiting him, and that would be a violation of the vow, which prohibits either one from benefiting from the other. So I can't receive money from someone who is forbidden for me to benefit from. Elolaman diomar b'shinichse machzir asurin v'lo mahader. But according to the opinion that says that when the property of the machzir was made usur, no return is going to take place, and he will not return the item. So the item is not going to be returned. Hechi mitaretz makom. What's this source talking about the fee being paid to the Beis HaMikdash? No fee is going to be paid because the item is not going to be returned. So how are we to understand the Mishnah that says the fee should be paid to the Beis HaMikdash when the return isn't going to take place? So Mor says, Kashya, this is a difficulty. Let us glance at the Tosfos commentary. Hechi mitaretz mokom, kashya v'intomar, you might ask, v'lishni kedeliel, why not answer like we answered before, d'chadokotoni, that the Mishnah, when it says the fee shall be paid to the Beis HaMikdash, is referring to one of the cases. V'reisha mairi, and the reisha is speaking about she'ein ba'al aveda roitzel akev aschar li'atzmo. The owner of the lost article doesn't want to keep the money in his own possession. V'yosor shetipo an ola hegdish. Under such circumstances, so then the benefit of the fee has to be paid to the hegdish. She'ein amachsi rashoi lochlo. The one who is returning it cannot consume it. Shemudur hanomi menu. He's not allowed to benefit from him. So why couldn't that be used as an answer? Yesh loymar, delo domi. Bishlamo, delo domi means they're not comparable. Bishlamo liel regiluzhu she'ein hamachzir roitzelito schar al hashavas aveda. In the reisha, it's common. I should say, not the Reisha, but in the Gemara before, it's common for the one returning the item to resist getting paid for the return of a lost article. Mishum mitzvah, as we explained before, the performance of a mitzvah is performed free of charge. Diginaihu. It's beneath his dignity to get paid for a mitzvah. Abal hocha, but in this case, lav urcha de milsa, it's not, we'll say, not normal. Shere ein genai mila akva le'atzmo, it wouldn't be beneath his dignity to simply hold on to it himself. So, with that in mind, we can't answer here in a fashion similar to the way we answered the Gemara, we explained the Gemara in the first Lashon. And that's why the Gemara concludes here with Kasha, leaving this as a difficulty. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.